Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Carl from Deviant Legion and Film and Stuff, and nice to have you with us. We have a very, very special program today, podcast. The first.
And I want to tell them who it is.
Well, you're going to introduce. But first, we want to introduce someone who you all know. She's my podcast partner, and she makes every podcast special. And that's Miss Rachel. Say hello, Miss Rachel.
I don't just make podcasts special. I make special people out of my lady parts. Just so you know.
Uh-oh.
And sadly, we have got the most wonderful guest in the world here. And, you know, unfortunately, my babies aren't his, but we're working on that. And I just want to say, coming in hot down the line, we have my favorite, the wild man, Winku. Joel, what is up?
Hey, you two. How you doing?
How are you? Good. Good. Nice to have you back on, Joel. It's been a little
while. It's nice to be back on. Thank you.
Oh, well, you should know you're always welcome. All you have to do is hit me up with a message and you're on. Seriously.
Oh, thank you.
No, I'm not kidding about that either.
I'm pretty sure he's too busy doing everything else in the goddamn independent film world to hit us up with messages. So we got to track his ass down sometimes.
Well,
so hopefully I've caught up a little now.
Well, I was actually thinking the last time we talked to you, I was going through, I think was with Craig Lawn Annihilation, Craig Lawn 3.
Yep, Craig Lawn 3 Annihilation.
Right, and so since then you've been busy. You actually have a TV series that you're working on. I want to hear about that a lot. But
and I'm doing the TV show too.
What's going on?
Yeah, I have the television show too, No Budget Cinema. In fact, I take four more shows down to the TV station tomorrow because I called the girl today and I go, hey, Dora, I couldn't get there. And she's like, well, just come tomorrow, but make sure you're here tomorrow because I don't have your Wednesday night show. I said, well, I'll have Wednesday and the next three Wednesdays. And then I got about 10 more shows after that. And then if I keep up my contract, I'll be going on for, you know, way into 2024 with the show.
Nice. So for those plebs out there, you know, not us, obviously, but for the people who don't know what No Budget Cinema is, could you maybe kind of explain that to them? Because, you know, I'm on the group and stuff. I got your ass. But there are people out there listening who don't even know,
awesome.
What this is, and I think they need to.
That group was started by Kathy, my wife. She goes, look, I got a little chat thing going on. I go, oh, that's awesome. So as people are watching it, they get on the chat board and go, oh, I love that. Or they repeat lines from the movie. Or one guy is constantly, because I put so many Easter eggs in my movies, people are always picking them out. And that's what I put them there for. And he's like, oh, that was from Blues Brothers. And that was from Ghostbusters. And that was from Spider-Man. And because I have all these Easter eggs that, you know, relate. And it's neat because I put them in the movie and a lot of people buy the movies, see the movies, say they liked it, but they never go into detail. Like, I love it when you reference Supernatural. And I do that in the movies. And then when I have them on the show, a lot of people catch them because they're watching the show as it's going. And I'll say something like, James, you were referencing Back to the Future. And people go, oh, you got Back to the Future in there. How cool. So those things are neat to see people really go, oh, that's cool. He's, you know, he's referencing Battlestar Galactica. When my computer, my AI says, at your command. And I go, did you just reference Battlestar Galactica to me, Asta? She's like, yes, James, you programmed me with all 70s movies or whatever. And that's pretty funny. I like that.
I agree.
So it is a TV show, and like my partner said, Tim Ritter said just the other night, he goes, what are they, just all your movies? And I go, no, they're, I said, a lot of them, like this Wednesday's is all my Super 8 movies from the 70s and early 80s. And then I have Inheritance is going to play by Michael Kenneth Farr. It's his movie. he's the star, and I even told him he had my wife in it, is a big major role in that, does a great job as Aunt Rhonda, and he came to me and he goes, well, I can have you as a DJ. I go, Mike, you don't even have to put me in this movie. This is for Kathy. I don't care. I'll sit back here and watch reruns of I Love Lucy and Batman in the back room. I don't need to be in the movie. And he's like, no, I got to have you in there somewhere. I'm going to put you in there as a DJ. So I am in there as a DJ, but under protest. I said, Michael, you're my good friend. You don't have to stick me in this one because we've known each other for years. But he's like, no, you got to be in the movie too. So I got, that's going to be upcoming in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And then Battle Suit is going to play on there. People from Table 12, Dago is going to play on there. And one night I'll have four shorts like we did that last week with, what did we play last week? Hess and Diary of Blood, Dead End, and the Paranormal Club. So, and then we had, of course, 187 times, Doomsday Stories, cast and crew, and Doomsday Stories, the movie. And then we did, so each week it's a different movie. And then I've got The Other Side is going to make reoccurrence on the last part of the second season. You'll see The Other Side part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. That all played on television like 7, 8 years ago on my TV show, The Other Side. So I thought it'd be cool to kind of play that again. So yeah, it's playing a lot of my movies, TV shows, Michael's Inheritance. And I'm doing that for other filmmakers. If they, you know, I'll put their movies on my TV show and put it out. And you can see it on all these streaming channels all over the world. One guy watches it in Uruguay. So it's just another way to get things out there. Sorry about that. I'm kicking the gates closed.
Not to worry, my friend.
And by the way, while you're kicking your gate closed, I have to do that with my front door every time. I just want you to know that it's really cool when, I guess it's Kathy probably maining the group, but when she does the call outs and she's like, hey, everybody, tell us where you're from. Where are you watching from? And I saw that the guy from Uruguay, and I was like, yes, you're getting like worldwide recognition. This is amazing.
Yeah.
So I've been really stoked since you scheduled to be with us, because I haven't talked to you guys in so long, and you have done so fucking much.
I just keep me busy with it.
Tell us where we can find this, where this is streaming.
Oh, it streams on, let's see, there's, let me see. First of all, there's on the website of the television station, tbcn.org. Then it also streams on the Roku on there under Cablecast. You can go to Roku, look up Cablecast, and then you look up Tampa Bay Community Network, which is tbcn.org. It also plays on Apple TV, iOS, Android, Fire TV, and I think that's it, and that's an awful lot. and all the local channels in Tampa. So not only does it get the local stuff, but it gets the whole world.
Dude, you've got distribution like nobody's business. Could you please take a second and explain the technicalities for us? Because you know, obviously, as you're one of our first and foremost and definitely a fave, we have a lot of up-and-coming independent and no-budget filmmakers that we've been getting on the show. And it would be really great if you could maybe tell us how you got some of that distribution, like the process, how easy was it? Are there companies we should maybe avoid when trying to put our media out there? Because, boy, you've got a shit ton out there available for everybody to get anytime they want. And a lot of our guys don't have that. And I think they need it. So how do you work all this, Joel? Just like, blanket statement there.
Yeah, well, and a lot of it is we've been doing it so long. Tim and I started, you know, we were both, Tim, let's see, I was taking care of Tim. His mom and dad hired me to watch them, you know, when he was like 8, when him and Wendy, you know, going to school and their parents are working. It was summertime. I was off. So they called my mom and dad, asked if Joel could watch them. I was about 15 then. So I would go over, take care of Tim and Kathy, make, you know, make their lunches, make sure they ate, just, you know, watch them until their mom and dad came home, because I'd watch them all day from like 8 in the morning. Because I remember they'd call me in the morning and go, hey, you're supposed to be over here watching the kids. Oh, sorry, I overslept. I'm on my way. And I'd run across the street and sorry about that. And they would leave for work. But yeah, so it started there for me doing the Super 8 stuff. And then I put Tim in some of my movies. And I think that's what got him started in movies. Because then I came back 10 years later to the neighborhood. And that's when he was making Day of the Reaper. Because I heard about him through my nephew's newspaper in school. And then he and I got together, came up with Inner Forces. We decided we couldn't do it. But then we did Twisted Illusions. And that's what started it. We first of all, we jumped in our cars, and we drove around everywhere. See, people now are too lazy to do that, and you don't have to because you just get a distributor. But then, if you wanted your movie out there, there's nobody to do it for. You'd get in your car, and you'd drive from Fort Pierce all the way down to Miami, and then you turn around and go Miami all the way back, maybe to Jupiter, or even Fort Pierce. And the next day, we'd go Fort Pierce all the way up to Cape Canaveral, where they shoot off the rockets, and we drive all the way up there and hit all the video stores. So that was number one. Then we met Ron Bonk with Salt City Home Video, and he liked Creep. He said Creep to him was the best shot on video movie he had ever seen it for that time, like 94, 95. So he picked up Creep, and then Ron became SRS Studios within a matter of time. And he started picking up all our titles, Screaming for Sanity, Wicked Games. He got the property for Truth or Dare, Killing Spree. And then Sub would side them out to other distributors like Films Around the World. And then, of course, we started working with Kevin Lindemuth, heard about me and heard about Tim. And Kevin was calling Tim to get Tim and I to do like the Alien Agenda series. And Marcus Cook wanted me in his movie Rot. And so the name kind of flew around. And then Fangoria magazine was a big thing because we were Notes of the Underground, and that was 8 pages long. So everybody that read Fangoria was reading about Tim and I. And then Phil Herman heard about us, or I heard about him through Independent Video. I called him. Me and him teamed up. Ryan Cavallini at one point said, I wish I could get Joel Weinkoop in one of my movies. And Phil was like, well, I know Joel. I'll get him in there. So he got me in his movies. And then I moved to Tampa, and then I was doing everybody. When I came over here, they all knew who I was. I'd be at the gas station, and people were like, weren't you in the movie Creed? They saw me in the Crystal Water truck, and I was like a little embarrassed. I go, yeah, is your bubble blown now? Because here I am. I'm just a truck driver filling up. I go, no, I don't care about that. You're cool and Creed. So people already knew me over here, and then we had that distributor, and then I got like Wild Eye Releasing was picking up stuff from me, and who else? Wild Eye and Saturn's Core picked up Lost Faith. So I got in. It's just the thing is just kind of getting your work out there, getting known. And I tell you what, it helps just to be nice to people. I get so much stuff right now at the television station where I do my show. And I've always said, just, you know, be nice to people. Don't be an asshole. Be nice. Hey, how you doing? Let me get the door for you. How's it going today? How are you? Because you'll get more farther being nice than you are being a jerk. So, yeah, you know, and then I got a lot of stuff at the television station. I got the Art Institute of Tampa. They like used to call me up years ago. Hey, Mr. Weinke, would you come here and talk with our students? And would you shoot some video with them? And would you teach us some ups? And I would go there, and then they turned it around to me. They're like, hey, if you ever need anything, man, our studio is available. So I go there and shoot all my TV shows there. And it's all from networking, being nice, persistent. You know, don't bother people too much in your persistence. Sometimes I do, and I'm like, if I don't do this, I won't get anywhere. So you have to. So, but yeah, that's all it is. It's being nice in the business, being persistent, getting your work out there, showing people what you got. Now, I don't have anything with Ron, with SRS, but it's pretty much my stuff's covered under Tim's stuff because all my stuff is signed under Tim. So if Tim releases it, that's just between Tim and Ron. I don't get anything out of that because I signed over, you know, my name on those movies. But I've done pretty well just, you know, doing my own stuff too with, like I said, Saturn's Core, and then Wild Eye is releasing a couple of my movies. Vinegar Syndrome's releasing my movie, or Saturn's Core. So yeah, it's just, but look how long I've been doing it. 45 years. I've been doing it since 1974, 72 actually, with the Super 8 movies. So, you know, that's a big thing too. It's just, you know, persistence pays off.
So with the situation that has changed in terms of distribution, in terms of streaming and that sort of thing, and not as much physical, has that impacted, like you're on Roku and that? How did that come about?
Yeah, well, it was a lot of, hang on. Hey, these gates are heavy as crap. Hey, okay. The streaming is cool because everybody gets it, but there's no money in it. Like, everybody's like, I got one guy that tells me, because I make $7,000 a month on my movies. I'm like, oh, shit, you do not. You might make $7, but you don't make no fucking $7,000. So it's like pennies, you know, it's a dollar, it's a penny. You made a penny. Oh, I made a penny. Woohoo! So, and my thing's off of TBC, and there's no money. If anybody asks me to play anything, I go, look, I'll play it to help you out, but there's no money involved. I don't need your movies. I got my own movies. Well, if you give me $10,000, $10,000, what are you, high? I'll put my movie on for free. So the streaming's good because people see it, but me, I'm still a physical media guy. A lot of people are like, oh, yeah, it's much better to stream it. I put it in my cloud. But I want to hold the DVD or the VHS in my hand to say, well, here it is. I take it off the shelf, open it up. I want to pull the DVD out. But I'm not opposed to streaming either. You know, my stuff's streaming now. So, but I've got, in my world, there's room for both of them, streaming and physical media. And the streaming doesn't really make you money. I mean, it doesn't make any money unless you're a big, if you're Mark Wahlberg or Tom Cruise, you're going to make a big, huge paycheck on that. But not if you're Joel Weinkoop or Tim Ritter or Kevin Lindemus.
Okay, understood. Understood. So what else do you have going on these days? You know, it's not, knowing you, it's not just this TV show. You got to have more going on. You're crazy.
Well, what I finished up was, at the time, was, I think, Craiglon Incident 1, Craiglon Incident 2, Aftermath, Craiglon Incident 3, Annihilation. Then Phil said, before I'm not even done with, oh, yeah. And then we had Horror Tales 2 and 3 in the middle of all that. I told Phil I'll stop working on Part 2 and work on Horror Tales, which I did Part 2. And then Horror Tales 3, then back to Craiglon Incident to finish it, then Part Craiglon Incident 3. Then Phil goes, oh, I got another movie ready to go, Doomsday Stories. And I go, what is that? And he told me, and I go, cool, I'll put a movie I'm working on called 187 Times a Short. I shot 51 minutes, so could not go into the short category, so I cut it down to 27 minutes, and that's in Doomsday Stories, but I had all this footage, and I didn't want to let the actors down that I cut out of the movie, so then I made a movie out of 187 times. It was, how long was it? It was 87 minutes, because it matched the 187 times. Then I finished that, and then Phil's like, okay, we're going to do, or I'm not even done with it. And he's like, we're going to do I Slam Christmas next. And I go, buddy, slow down. I can barely keep up with these movies because I'm editing them all. And so I kind of told Phil, I said, I don't want to do that, man. I don't want to go out there and get my hands all bloody and get the camera bloody. And he's like, oh, man, come on. You can't wimp out of me. I need you to do this. And then I'm like, okay, all right, I'll write a story. So I wrote a story quick called All Chopped Up and Nowhere to Go. Put Sean Donahue in it, Vera Marlowe, my wife Kathy, myself, and we put the movie together and shot that. And then in the meantime, he's like, how's Owen Brothers going? You doing Owen? I go, oh, my God. You want me to do Owen Brothers? I'm doing Owen Brothers at the same time. So I got in my editor, I got Owen Brothers, and I've got All Chopped Up and Nowhere to Go. And I just finished Owen Brothers, and I'm going to check that DVD when I get home tonight. I do a 10-mile walk every night. So when I get home, I'll check that to make sure that looks good. And if it does, that's ready to go to our distributor. And then I go in and finish All Chopped Up and Nowhere to Go. And then I'll be able to take a break for a little while. I do have Tim talk to me about doing Twisted Illusions 3 and with him and Susanna Kapotsky. And I still have Beast Mode to finish, which we started that the day right before the pandemic happened, and I had to shut everything down because everything I was doing was like in people's faces, and you know, Debbie Rashawn and I were kissing, and I said we can't do that with this weird virus thing going on. We can't even get near each other. Well, we got Debbie Rashawn and Lloyd Kaufman all those scenes are shot. And now, like, Lloyd Kaufman, like, pops in and goes, oh, I'm the weatherman. It's going to be cloudy. And he's gone. No, he does seven scenes for me, and I spread them out through the movie. So, and Debbie Rochon. So,
yeah,
I'm anxious to get back to that.
I saw
what's
Lloyd
that?
Kaufman's green screen. I saw his green screen at his studio. I was there like a year and a half ago. And I think he was saying that he was shooting stuff for you. Absolutely.
See, I didn't want to do that either. Lloyd was here for Tampa Bay Screams, and I asked Lloyd, I go, Lloyd, if I slip you a quick 100, and Debbie, if I give you $100, can you do these scenes with me? And they're like, yeah. So I got him up to the hotel that night and told Debbie what she had to do. I even gave Lloyd a chance to go home. I go, Lloyd, let's get all yours so I don't wear you out, and you can go back to, you know, your room. No, Joel, I'm fine. And right at the very end of the shoot, it was funny. And I got everything from Lloyd already. He was hanging out to do one last scene. He goes, okay, let's speed it up now. I got to go. And I go, okay, Lloyd. I said, totally understand. I said, just do this. Can you just take the gunshot for me? He goes, yeah. And I go, and then you're done. My wife paid him, walked him back to his room, saw him the next day. And he got on a microphone, and he was like, I was with Debbie doing a movie for Joel Weinkoop. He's a great director. You know, we went up there, and he knows what he's doing. And, you know, if you're smart, you'd work with him because he's doing a good job, and he shot my scenes, and he shot Debbie's scenes, and he's really great and fun to work for. So I was like, I didn't even ask him to say that. I wasn't even there, and he just did it. Somebody had it on video, and they said, did you see what Lloyd said about you? And I go, no, and I looked, and I was like, wow, that was cool.
Yeah.
So quickly, I have to ask you what might possibly be a favor. And Carl, I'm sorry I haven't run this by you yet, but this is spur of the moment, and you're going to agree because you love me. You were talking about some Halloween movies that you made. Would it be possible to find out where we can view them and maybe do a commentary watch on them?
Oh,
I don't
know about
for Halloween season.
I didn't do like Halloween. I did, you know, scary. Like a demon with the chupacabra.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I didn't do nothing initially like a pumpkin and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, you did say Halloween Tales or whatever. So I was just wondering.
Oh, Horror Tale.
Horror Tale.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, the first
like,
one.
It doesn't
there,
have to be Halloween themed. I just like, you know, we do commentary watches for every season, of course. And since Halloween
cool.
is coming up, it is officially spooky season. We need to start thinking about spooky season, scary type movies.
Yeah. We have to think about spooky season.
Well, Horror Tales 3, I really like that for what it was for the comedy, but also the stories. Like, I think a lot of people that didn't like them would go, the reviews would be like, oh, the Joel Weinkoop just blabs on too long in the wraparounds. But that's like one out of, I don't know, 100, 200, where they go, why can't you keep this thing rolling? Because you're laughing at him, and then he's screaming at you, and you're laughing at him, and it's making the time go by, and it's entertaining. And the ones that are saying the opposite, they're not getting it, because sometimes people's remotes are too close to them, and they'll just see me come up, and they'll hit the fast forward and go right through it. And then they'll just say, oh, why can't you suck in that movie? But they didn't watch it, because they fast forwarded
yeah.
through it. But Halloween,
well, I definitely
Tales,
don't do that.
But Horror Tales 3, is it Horror? There's two of them I get confused. Tales for the Midnight Hour, 1 and 2. And then there's Horror Tales 1, Horror Tales 2, Horror Tales 3. 3, I thought, you know, was funny. I thought the stories were cool. Derek Brash does a story, WD. Of course, Phil does his. I do one. But that to me, and it's 2 hours, and some people bitch about 2 hours. All I want to do is give people their money's worth. So I try and give them 2 full hours. But then people bitch,
right.
That's too long. I need 90 minutes. And so that's why I'm back with the Owen Brothers, is 100 minutes long.
Well, there you go.
And then, of course, you got all my old movies, Creep and Wicked Games. Those are all Halloween-inspired, Truth or Dare.
Yeah.
And Slasher Weekend is horror related because of the old Friday the 13th stuff, you know, and the killer in the woods.
Well, you know, one of these days, I don't know if you really understood what Rachel was saying, but maybe you should just pick one that you'd like to do and come on with us and do a commentary watch on one of your
films. That'd be cool.
And, you know,
that is ultimately
that
what I would
October.
Like.
That'd be fine because there are so many tales behind the scenes that nobody knows about. Like if I were doing Alien Agenda, I'd be like, okay, this is the scene where I was standing in front of the girl and I had the gun pointed at her head, and the sheriff and the cops that showed up couldn't see our camera and they couldn't see our sound guy. All they could see was the guy with the gun pointing it at a girl's head, and she's sitting right in front of the guy's crotch looking like, you know, he's saying, go give it to me or something. And here comes the sheriff going, whatever's in your hand, drop it now. And then the actor, the dumb actor being me, turns with the gun in his hand, and the cops drop to the knees and say, loser, we shoot you. And I threw the gun, and I go, okay, it's just a prop. And then they're like, take everything off your belt now. Are those weapons? And I go, yes. And they go, take them off now. And I go, I can't. They're taped to my body. And they come over, and they're like, what the hell's going on here? Then they see Tim behind the bushes and our cameraman. And those are just some of the things. I like to put them on commentaries because people don't know that's what goes on. They just think, they think you put your movie together in 5 minutes and it was easy as hell. And their comments are always the same. I could make a movie better than that. And I'm always like, good, show me.
Do
show
it.
Me. Go
yes.
Take, we take, that all take 7 days and shoot a movie like The Bite, you know?
Like, yeah. I love that part of your personality, Joel, that you're one of the people that I feel like if somebody actually goes up and says, I can make a better movie than that, and you're like, all right, fucking show me, dude. Like, bring
yeah,
it, bro.
Yeah.
Now, if bro brings it and makes a good movie, you're going to be fucking proud of him for it.
I'll tell him. I'll say, damn, dude, that's a good job.
Like, you
but
did
I
make
have
a better
guys,
movie.
I got guys that I know, I've known for over 10 years, and they kind of put down other filmmakers, and all they say is, like, I'm going to make a better movie. And I'm like, dude, when are you going to make that better movie? You've been saying that for 25 years. I knew a guy on my route at Crystal Water way back in 86. I was talking about Lost Faith. I'm going to make it. And he's like, well, my movie's going to cost $250,000. And I'm going to do this and that and this and that. And I'm going, dude, you keep waiting on that $250,000. I'll knock 50 movies out by then. And for all I know, he never did anything. There's so many people in this industry. They talk. And talk and talk. Yeah, I'm making a movie. My movie's going to be better than yours. I've got the KRX 50,000 watt DD double HyRX Black Magic ZZR complicated camera. It's the best one in the whole wide world. I'm making a movie. Cool. All right. Let me see when it's done. Well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get to making it for about 10 years, but when they do it, it'll be good. And again, I'm like, knock yourself out, man. I'll knock 30 more movies off when you're still waiting on that money there, buddy.
And that's,
you know,
another thing I love is if you do this with, like, yes, micro budget.
You know.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that, and I tell people that all the time. I'm not here to impress you as movie making. I just want to entertain. Like, my show is 2 hours. I say it on every episode. I'm not trying to get you to like my shows. I'm not trying to get you to hate them. I'm not trying to get you to understand them. I'm not trying to make them make sense to you. I'm just here to entertain you for 2 hours. I mean, don't watch 187 times and go to me, well, in curiosity of the object of the man going back in time, crossing through an alternate reality. Now, this cannot be proved by scientific methods today. Albert Einstein, you know, I don't give a shit about all that crap. You know, I'm not Gene Roddenberry that ran everything through NASA. You know, I'm just Joel Weinkoop. You don't like it? Don't watch it. I don't care. You know, I just want to entertain you for 2 hours.
You know, it's all about, you know, when we talk about micro budget, it's about doing it yourself. And you are the epitome of that, of all the people we have on here, Joel. You know, and there's been many, many really good friends of the podcast. You are the one that I would say, look at what he does. Look at how much he works. Look at how much he does. And all the energy, I still don't believe how much energy you have, Joel. Because we're basically the same age. And good God, man, you just do not stop. And you won't. You won't. You know, you've been in an old age home with a goddamn, you know, camera phone, you know, thinking up Bubba Hotep 7.
Yeah. Yeah. Kim and I used to say we'll always be plodding around the old folks' home with canes, and he'll be going, all right, roll over there, walk through that door and go, say, holy shit. And I'm like, okay, Tim. Well, right now, when I put something together, it's generally, I mean, me and Phil did a lot of stuff together with Craiglon because he was one of the guys. I said, you know, that was a joke. I was just going to make a little 10-minute movie outside my door because I was pissed because television was saying you can't come out of your houses and go downtown and mingle with people. And I thought, I'm going to make a 10-minute movie outside my door. Hey, baby, come shoot this with me. And then I called Phil and I said, hey, you want to be in this stupid thing? It's just a 10-minute thing. He's like, yeah. And then I got a hold of Sean C. Phillips in L.A. and I asked him and he's like, yeah, man. And that grew into 3 movies. And then I see people on television here. I don't know where everybody else, but here, local TV and the reporters come on television and they go, we're going to talk to Mr. John Billings. He made a movie during COVID. It was a whole 7-minute movie he endured during the times of COVID. And I'm watching that. I'm going, hey, Joel Wycombe did 3 full movies, 2 hours apiece during COVID, doing everything you're supposed to do, staying 10 feet away from people, shooting it that way. I said, don't I get some recognition here? And anytime I would put something up to the guys I know at the newspaper or the TV, no, we're going to do the one about Bill because he only shot 7 minutes of footage in COVID. You shot too much. And I'm thinking, my story would have been a hell of a lot better. Say, I did 3 movies, 2 hours apiece, all during COVID times, and I just got really looked over. And I'm like, you know, that's the way it goes.
That's a bunch of bullshit, you know.
But
you know,
I guess what it's leading up to is
you told stories about you know, getting all these people to do shots in their own backyards and that sort of thing for Craiglon, and that's exactly how you did it. You did it because you could reach out to people and they would do it for you because they'd worked with you before and that sort of thing. That's why you were, able to do what you did. And they could have really expanded that story and shown people how you can do things.
Yeah.
You know, during COVID, you know, because we were inside.
Yeah. And that was another thing about it. Because it was COVID, that's why the movie was being shot. That's why I put in the movie. I put this is a true COVID movie. If COVID didn't come, then those 3 movies would have never been done because I wouldn't have had a reason to. But when I reached out on Facebook, I had – oh, God, he's such a sweet guy. He is from – not Brazil. But anyway, he was like, so why could I be in this movie? And I go, better than that, I'm going to pay you to be in the movie because everybody got paid. And he went out and – God dang it. He had a shirt on that said Japan, but he was in Norway or somewhere. Anyway, way on the other side of the world. And he shot me a whole scene where he's running through the woods and the aliens find him. He records a message for, you know, his people, you know, that would find the camera phone. And the alien breaks in and kills him. And you know, a Dean Houlihan. And he was freaking awesome, did a great job. And he even commented on the No Budget page. He just wrote this big, long thing to me and Kathy because I'm so, you know, Joel put me in his movie. He trusted me. I'm so happy to be a part of it. I think this is great that you guys are doing. That's why Kathy started that message board. I said, this is so cool to hear from these people on there. But Dean Houlihan was one of them way over, God dang it, I can't remember the country. But, from these ones overseas. And Toshiaki Haruko, he does my music from Japan. William Westwater over in England, my other guy is in Australia that does my special effects. I pull in all these people from all over to put them in the movies. And that's the other thing. I pay everybody. You know, even I just said his name. Gerardo said, I go, is that cool, Gerardo? He goes, Joe, I do whatever for you. You pay me. David doesn't pay me anything, but you pay me. I go, you're damn straight I'll pay you. You know, there's only so long you can go with just telling people, can you do this for free? Can you do this for free? I know filmmakers here in town, they're like, well, I spent, you know, $500,000 on all my film equipment, but my actors will all work for me for free. And I'm kind of like the one that stands up for the actors. And I'm kind of yelling at the actors. I go, stop doing stuff for free, man. You think Tom Cruise got where he is today by doing, I'll do risky business for free. I don't think so. So stand up for yourself and say, no, I want to get paid, you know?
Yeah.
Granted, there's things, I've had things where, like, I did something for Rick Danford. He's doing a fan film, a Friday the 13th fan film. And he goes, I want you to be what the hell was his name? Friday the 13th that got killed. You're doomed. You're all doomed. You'll be playing him. And I said, you know what? That'd be fun to do. Is there any money? No, because it's a fan film. I don't care. It'll be fun to do. But, you know, the one thing I say is don't tell me to be at a film set at 10 o'clock in the morning and make me sit around until 6 o'clock at night, which has happened in the past, until I stood up for myself. And then I just said, now when people say, yeah, be there at 10, I go, when am I going to be shooting? Well, I don't know. Well, you figure out when you're going to shoot me, and that's when I'll be there, because I'm not going to sit around in a film set again. One guy showed up one time on Dark Dimensions, and he's laughing, having the time of his life, going, oh, yeah, I had to go. And I went up to him, and I tapped him on the shoulder. I go, hey, dude, where the hell you been? And he don't know me from Adam. Well, you know, I went to the dentist, and then I had to go here and there. And I go, you see all these people here? There's about 30 people here. We're all waiting for you so we can shoot our scene. Don't ever do that again. Okay, I'm sorry. And then people are like, he's like, well, who does he think he is? And they're going, he's Joel Weinkoop, man. Don't mess with him. And I'm like, yeah, don't. You show up. You want to show up. I want to shoot my scenes, and I want to go. I mean, unless I say, oh, yeah, I'll hang out. It'll be cool to hang out today. Generally, no. You know, I get there, I want to shoot my scenes, and then I want to leave. And then when I do my movies, I tell people, you'll be there at 10, because you're going to be, if you're walking that door at 10 o'clock, I'll be shooting you at 10:15. You'll be done at 11:30, then you'll be out the door, and the next person comes in. My last movie, 187 times, is the first time I said, the lady at the studio said, you have to have insurance, Joel. You're going to have to buy insurance, and then you got to abide by my rules. And so I did everything she wanted. I got insurance for like 7 actors. And she goes, you can't have more than 7 people in the studio at the same time. You can't take more than 7 parking spaces. A couple times in the day, she goes, Joel, there's 8 people out here. No problem. I would turn to somebody. I go, you're done. Go home. You got paid. What are you sitting here for? Well, I'm taking pictures. No, get out of the building. You're done. So, I mean, that's how you get things finished. You can't just lollygag along and make like everything's, well, it's a big party, we're all having fun. No, we're here to work. Do your job. You can have fun, but you can do the job too.
Yeah. So Rachel, you got any questions for Joel? I haven't heard from you in a while.
I mean, I've been listening. No, I mean, you pretty much answered my questions. I mean, I just needed to know, you know, for our fans out there, kind of the technical aspects of things, because that's what we do with our micro budget cinema encouragement squad here. I really also need you to tell people how they can directly reach you, Joel. Like, give them the name to your websites. Fucking prop yourself, dude. We have not heard a lot of that. I mean, we've heard the names of your movies and your new show, but...
Yeah, it's funny
now,
when people are like,
you? How can they get your shit directly?
When people were like, get a website, get PayPal, I'll get your movie. So I got a website, I got PayPal, didn't hear nothing from it. So everybody is so damn good at this. Oh, I can't wait to see that movie. I'm going to buy it when it comes out. I can't wait. It sounds so cool. I got to get it. I'll get done with the movie, because like Phil says, me and Phil get our things done quickly. And we're going, okay, here it is in my hand. It's only $20. You want to get a copy? Well, no, the mortgage is due. But you're going to go spend $50 at McDonald's. At least the DVD stays with you. McDonald's is going to be gone in 3 hours. So my biggest thing is, and then Phil put a thing out there, Blu-rays or DVDs, what's better? And then everybody was like, Blu-ray, I've got to get a Blu-ray. So I jumped right on. I go, all my movies are on Blu-ray. What do you want? Don't hear a thing from anybody. Okay, is it either me or you just like to run your lips and say, oh, I get a chance to talk about what I like the best? Well, are you going to buy anything, or are you just talking about having it like in case the Blu-ray fairy drops by and says, here's the Blu-ray, John? You know, if you're going to talk about it, then back it up. Oh, you got Blu-rays? I didn't know that. Cool. What do you got? Oh, you got that, and that? Cool. I'll send you a check. How much you want? $90? Cool. I'll do it. That's what I want to hear. And as far as, so lately, so I killed the website because nothing was happening. I did keep PayPal. And then I said, you know what? The best thing for me for Facebook, all I do is go on there, send out all my birthdays, all my happy birthdays to everybody that's on my friends list. I put up my memories, and then I might make an announcement like, hey, we're doing, you know, I Slam Christmas next, or 187 times looking for actors. And then I get off and I do other things. And then later on at night, I might go back on and, you know, see what's up with anything, anything's new. But that's how I tell people. And on my TV show, I say, you know, get in touch with me here, NakotaBlast@AOL.com or info@TBCN.org, care of Joel Weinkoop, or just hit me up on Facebook, which is just Joel D. Weinkoop. But it would save a lot of people time when they send me a face request. Instead of just sending a face request blankly, say, hi, Joel, I heard about you on this show or saw you in Creep. Would you accept my friend request? Because a lot of people just send me something, and I go, how did you hear about me? And more of them will say, are you kidding? I saw you in Creep and Dirty Cop, No Donut. And then I'm like, cool, man, I'll accept you right now. The other people are like, oh, I don't know, your name just was, you know, flying by me. And then those are the ones I don't care. If you don't have any interest in what I'm doing, then I don't need to accept you because we're never going to talk to each other. Why is some guy that has an animal shelter going to talk to me that makes movies? He don't care. Why is he sending me a friend request? He doesn't even know me. So I'd rather hear from the people.
Just for posterity's sake, one of our other favorite guests, you know, because you're in the spotlight here, but we do have other friends when you're not around and we get lonely. He actually does run the Kitty Bungalow Charm School for Wayward Cats that is a cat shelter, but is also in the movie industry.
Oh, see, well, that's a different story. He would write, hey, Joel, I save a lot of cats, but I love independent movies, and I saw you in Dirty Cop, No Donut. Please accept my request. And I'm like, oh, man, it's awesome that you do that, and also awesome that you've seen some of my movies. Now we have something in common. I give it all to the cats. I hope the cats are all safe and sound, and somebody's protecting the cats and the dogs of America. But on the other side, if it was just dogs and cats, and if I see a dog, I'm going to, you know, pick the thing up and get it to a vet or whatever. But I want to know why you're questing me. And not just when I say, well, how did you hear of me? And they just go, oh, no, it's just random. And one guy got, no, about 3-4 guys, they get mad. I go, hey, buddy, how you doing? Just want to know how you heard about me. And the guy was like really pissed. He goes, I don't have to have a reason to request you as a friend. And I wrote back and I go, that's cool, man. I just want to know what your interests were. Have you seen any of my movies? Let's go fuck yourself. And I'm like, well, dude, why are you talking or chatting? He's not talking. He's chatting. I go, dude, why are you texting me like this? Go fuck yourself.
Like, you know,
and I go, you called me, you asshole. So I deleted him. I'm like, well, you call me up and then you bitch at me? I didn't do anything.
Like all that shit you see online where a girl, you know, politely rejects a guy or doesn't respond in time after he says, you're fucking hot, let's do it. And then he gets angry and he's like, you're an ugly bitch anyway. Nobody wants you, but.
That's like the girl that says, the girl says to Jay, she goes, Jay, girls don't like to be called bitches. And Jay says, they don't? She goes, no. Oh. Because he's always like, hey, bitch, come here. They don't like to be called bitches, Jay. No, and then the other one, but I've had a lot that are like, oh, no, I met you at the film festival. I talked to you in the hallway. You plugged our movie there. You got up and talked in front of me. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So we have something, you know, in the same interest. And again, I don't put nobody. Somebody can write me and say, "Oh, I'm a retired police detective. Just thought it'd be cool to, you know, have you as a Facebook friend." And I'll write him back and I'll go, "Cool, man. Do you like any independent movies? Do you like any of my movies?" Whether he says yes or no, but I accept them. But the ones that just either get mad at me and start swearing at me right away. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I didn't start this. Or if they just go, I just thought I'd request it, and they got no. Or I'll say, oh, are you interested in movies? No, I don't give a shit about movies. And I'm like, then why are we going to be friends? You won't care about anything else.
Facebook, we love Facebook.
Well, like I said,
yeah,
that's, I only use it for
that.
Don't
say that out loud.
It.
The Facebook will hear you.
Yeah. I don't care because I'm always saying things about it. But when Facebook, I put up, I think a pair of as a picture, a close-up of Kathy's breast, and somebody got offended by that and reported me, and then Facebook took me down for 24 hours. But I see Facebook has a big, huge, giant penis going inside of a vagina, and that was okay with Facebook. But a picture of my wife's breast wasn't, and my wife's breasts were covered. But the penis and the vagina weren't.
Glorious, by the way. That's a fucking work of art you were posting.
But, I mean, that's the dumb thing about Facebook. Someone can say, well, he said something about stubbing his toe, and he laughed about it, but I stubbed my toe and had to have it amputated, so I don't appreciate him talking about that. So please ban him for 24 hours, and Facebook will do it. But it's better than MySpace.
Oh, you don't miss your top 10 list?
MySpace anymore.
Sparkle banner?
Seriously.
Yeah. But I do have to say this, Rachel, that Kathy, my wife, she goes with me on all the, like, she, when I did Craiglon incident the day we went to the park, and I won't mention the park because the last minute I told her, and I was dying that day. I was like having a heart attack or something because I got back in the car and I was stripping off the mask and the bodysuit. I go, God, I'm dying. And the air was blasting out and I was drinking water. And I remember Nick Naylor writing me, he goes, Joel, you're going to kill yourself. Stop it. Please don't do that. You're going to die. And he was dead serious. But the last thing Kathy and I did there, I go, baby, now we got to go over there to that open area where everybody's going to see us. And I got to do a big laser battle by those cement posts. So they match the stuff that Phil shot in Rockaway. And Phil did the same thing. He waited till the cops were looking the other way. And then he snuck in to get his shot. They just told him, don't go in there. And Phil goes, oh, no, I was just looking. And he goes, as soon as they looked away, I scattered underneath the fence and went out there because I said, if they stop me, I said, Joel Weinker wanted me to shoot this for his movie, and I got to do it for him. But sheriff's helicopter spotted me and her, me with the rifle, and it started circling us. And I looked up, and I go, that helicopter's here for us. I said, run, just like Ed Wood. We didn't have permits. Run. And we ran to the van, popped open the hatch, threw the laser gun in. I'm stripping off the alien suit, the mask, got in the van, pulled out of the park, the helicopter went right over us. I got down the road, pulled out on Martin Luther King, went out to Dale Mabry, made a right on Dale Mabry. I'm going, that helicopter's right over my head now, flying the same route we are, and I'm going, whatever happens, happens, I got to get a Coke. And I whipped into McDonald's, and the helicopter kept going. I guess maybe they thought, no bad guy's going to go to McDonald's in a pursuit. This guy's just doing whatever. And, and then the sheriffs surrounded me here when I was shooting Craiglon incident, Annihilation. I was up on a hill, and I was up in the alien suit with the mask, and I had the laser gun, and I set my camera by itself. This is one day I went alone. My wife wouldn't go with me. She goes, no, you're going to end up in jail. And I was up there shooting down at traffic at the camera, but traffic going by, I thought, they won't think nothing of it. Nobody's going to look up this hill. Somebody called it in, and I was up the hill for a while, trying to, you know, recreate the shots. And about 7 minutes, I come down. There's five sheriff cars have me surrounded. And they go, Joel Weinkoop? And I go, yeah, how'd you know? He goes, yeah, we heard about you. And I go, I really didn't think anybody would, you know, it'd be a big deal. He goes, no. He goes, I'll tell you what. He goes, I'm going to let you know what the 911 call. The 911 call was, help, help, there's aliens. They landed on Earth, and they're up on the mound at across from the Discount Auto Parts. It's an alien, and he's shooting his laser gun at people driving by in his cars. And I laughed. He goes, I'm not kidding. That was the 911 call we received. People thought the Earth was being invaded. And I thought to myself, that's Joel Weinkoop. My wife's always afraid. I got
like 100% on brand for you, and I fucking love it. And this, my love, is why we need you on a commentary watch with us. And I you can't see it because I'm all the way here in Tennessee and you're all the way down there in Florida, but I am on my knees, Joel. I need you on a Halloween spooky podcast.
We could at least do it over a virtual thing. I don't think I'm ever going to get up to Tennessee soon.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, no, that's what we do. We just, we find a place to, that we can all watch the movie, like, you know, Amazon, Tubi, what the fuck ever,
whatever
we need to do. And then we just all call in like we're doing right now. We call into the same number and everything, and we get connected from across the fucking country, and there you go.
Yeah, because if I said, "Hey, baby, I'm going to Tennessee to Rachel's house to spend the night with her to shoot a commentary," she'd be like, "Excuse me?
No.
Oh no, you know
what I'm starting to say about a one-man show, Kathy. Except for the night I went there, and she was working Busch Gardens one night, Christmas Day. I was out 3 o'clock in the morning shooting stuff in the interiors of a bank, the post office, Publix. I was shooting all the alien scenes. But other than that, like when we were at the park, she was with me then. She goes out with me on the shoots. She, you know, helps carry all this crap out there. Kind of like Tim and Kathy did when we were shooting stuff together. Tim and Kathy would load up their car, show up. And I wouldn't. I'd come from Fort Pierce because I'm just coming as an actor. But then as it now, and 187 times, Kathy and I pack up the van. We drive to Orlando. I paid $3,000 for the studio for, I think we were up there a couple days. And then I've been paid. All my actors got paid. And I would say, baby, go ahead and pay them. Make sure they read the release. Pay them the money. Make sure they understand why they're being paid the money. Make them sign for the money. And so it's the two of us working as a team. So it might be, they'll be like, man, Joel, I could just, well, my wife's right there with me doing it. Because I could do it alone, but it'd be really, really tough. It's a big help to have her, you know, get behind me, you know, stand by your man. Stand behind her man and then, you know, and help out. And do, but she enjoys it too because she loves acting also.
Yeah.
So just to interrupt you for a moment, we were talking about, you know, doing a commentary watch for Pride Month a couple months ago. We had Mark Manos on. I don't know if you know Mark or not.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I don't know him personally, but I've heard of him.
But we had, we did a commentary watch with Mark of Curse of the Queer Wolf. The Pride Month. So
cool.
we've done this with, you know, so we definitely want you to do come on with us too. That would be absolutely
fantastic.
Yeah,
you just let me know. You bet.
Well,
I'll do it in a second.
Pick out a movie and you tell us and we'll schedule it. That's all you have to do. Seriously.
Well, I thought the funniest one we did was when you guys reviewed Lost Face. I thought that was funny. But I'm
good.
Like, I'm up for all of them. That's what people like to try and pin me down and go, what's your favorite? And well, I usually tell them Lost Faith and Creep. Those are the two, because Lost Faith, you know, I wrote, direct, produced, wrote the music, you know, had catering come, you know, did everything on that. And so that means a lot to me. And Creep, I really had fun doing Creep. Even Tim told me, he's like, yeah, he goes, I didn't want you to do the scene that way, but you were having so much fun, I just let you do it. And I'm glad I did because it's a good scene. And I'm like, oh, cool. So those are two of my favorites. But, I enjoy all – I enjoy all the movies. There's like, you know, Dark Dimensions, The Bite, even The Connection, which is kind of a recent movie in the last couple of years. That was fun to do. And, again, the things that happen on them. So, yeah, you know, it's – whatever, maybe you should do like a viewer's opinion. Say, hey, what Joel Weinkoop movie do you want to see us do with a commentary? I guess Riff Tracks has just done one on Truth or Dare. It's like $11 to buy on streaming. You can't, and I want a DVD. I don't want a streaming. So I said, I'll just wait. Sooner or later, I'll have a DVD, and then I'll get it.
Yeah.
That's
actually a fantastic idea. We should go on Film and Stuff, our other site, and ask our people there what they'd like to see.
And then you'll see if there's an interest. You might say, hey, what's Joel Weinkoop movie do you want to see? And they might be like, who the hell's Joel Weinkoop? Oh, God, I don't want to see him. But get the ones, of course, that go, oh, man, I'd love to see him do Dirty Cop or Creep, or I want to see him do Lost Faith. And then whatever he's got the most of, you know, you kind of make a thing out of it. Like, well, George Holloway in Claremont said he would love to see Joel Weinkoop's movie parodied or talked about Creep or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And I'm all for that.
I love that idea, Joel, and I'm going to do that just for you. You're going to be my first post on that because we've been talking about it, and, you know, doing like an audience participation kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
if you're
it.
the winning pick, then maybe you get a few minutes to come on the show with us, or, you know, whatever. But yeah, I love that. I'm 100% here for that idea.
Yeah, and you know I will, because I get a lot of calls on Facebook and stuff. Everybody's, you know, they'll have a podcast. I'll be like, hey, Joel, can you come on and talk about your latest movie with us? And I go, yeah. And they go, do you think you can talk for 20 minutes? I go, 20 minutes? I got about 7 days I can give you, man. Don't worry about me running out of shit to say.
Yeah, they don't know you. They say, oh, we just need 20 minutes. We know you. It's going to go over an hour.
I was about to say, we can give you one word and you'll go for 20 minutes on it.
Well, there's so much
come
that can,
on.
Yeah, so much can come out of it. You're like, we're talking about Creep, and before you've asked the question, I've gone over the entire movie, and you're like, well, you answered that question with 19 other ones, but you answered them.
Well, and that's my thing, Carl. When you were asking me earlier if I had any questions, it's like, why do I have questions? Joel, in his time, is going to answer everything that's in my cute little head and probably come up with answers for questions I didn't know I had.
Yeah, I'm good at
that. So everything else seems to be going real well for you, man. We're just so happy to have you on, Joel. And
thanks, both of you. Thank you.
Give Kathy our love, too, because we absolutely adore her, too.
I will definitely do that. Thanks, and she appreciates that. She does a hell of a job. And, well, she does great in 187 times. And, of course, she did, like, five or six different characters in the Craiglon incident in the three movies. But and then in the movie Inheritance, Michael Kenneth Farr's movie, I'm going to play his movie in about 4 weeks, I think, on No Budget Cinema. And she plays a part called Aunt Rhonda, and she really carries, you know, the movie. I mean, with the stars are Michael Kenneth Farr and another guy, but Kathy is right there with him, and she plays this Aunt Rhonda character. I told her, baby, this is the best thing you've ever done, because you're in almost the entire movie. You've got the character down being this bitchy, shitty aunt with big breasts and blonde hair. And you play the role so well. And it really is a big accomplishment for her. And it's a good acting job for her in Inheritance. But I take all her other stuff. She did a good job in the Owen Brothers too. But that her character Aunt Rhonda is just awesome. She did great in that for Inheritance.
I'm just in awe of what you guys do, you know, and again, I point to you specifically, you know, when stuff, you know, you do it all and you don't stop and you've been doing this for 40 years and that type of, you know, get up and go and all that you have, you know, and again, you've touched on it during this show that there are just so many people that just, you know, think they're going to do something and just sit there. And it's just a matter, and this is what we try to tell our people that, listen, you know, just, you've got cameras on your phone. Go out and make a movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good it is, how bad it is. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yep. That's what I've always said. It doesn't come down to one person was just asking Kathy, well, I want to talk to Joel about budgets and how much money. And she stopped and she goes, buddy, don't even worry about the money. If you want to do it, you can do the movie. You know, yeah, it's nice to have, you know, a few bucks behind you to do it. Or you can, maybe you can get an item investor for the TV show. And he was just like, Joel, he goes, I thought you were going to be making me money off of this. And you go, I almost gave you $10,000. And I haven't seen it. And I just told him, I go, Mark, I'm sorry. But I never told him I was going to have money coming back. I just said, it was through Herschel Gordon Lewis. I asked Herschel. And Herschel goes, ask Mark. He'll give you the money. I'm not going to give you money. Get it from Mark. He's got money. And I go, okay. So I asked Mark, and he gave it to me. I didn't think he wanted anything back. I just told him, I said, geez, Mark. I said, I'm really sorry. I don't – the show's – I can't make any money because they won't let you do this on this network. And I said, it was just kind of like to put your name out there. And, you know, be on television. And he's a big rich millionaire. I've got millions and millions of dollars. I don't need my name on TV. But it's still kind of cool to have your name attached to something you know, whether it's a movie or a TV show. And some people will do that just for that reason. You know, you can walk up to somebody and they're a millionaire, and I could go, hey, if you give me, you know, 20 grand, I can do this television show or a movie, and I'll put your name at the beginning of it. Okay, cool. That'll be great. Yeah, just like that. It means that that's a quarter to them. Mm-hmm. Giving me $20,000, they're a multimillionaire. They're not looking for the return. They're going to be dead someday. Then what are they going to do with their money? Give it to me. That's how I feel. I just got rid of
That's for sure.
What's that?
You can't fault that logic.
Well, I just told somebody today. I just got rid of he wanted to buy a whole bunch of my VHS tapes and DVDs and props. And I go, what am I going to do with them? My kids really don't care about the acting or dad makes movies. Ah, one of them is kind of like, oh, we watch them up here, dad. Because they watch the show and I send them DVDs. But none of them are really going to be like when I am going to be dead and I have a will and say, okay, all these machine guns that are props go to my son, Jim, and all these monster props go to my son, Logan. And they're not going to care. So when this guy was there today buying them, I go, man, sometimes I'm like, I want to hang on to them. And I go, but why? I'll be dead soon. And then what is going to happen to them? They're going to get all burned and thrown in the garbage. So, no, give me lots of money and I'll give them to you. And that's what I did. I don't need them anymore. So I said the same thing about myself.
Yeah, but you're going to be going for quite a while yet, Joel. Let's not kid anybody. Seriously. Again, I want to thank you very, very much for being on with us. You're always welcome, and I'll get in touch with you by the end of the month as far as setting some up for a commentary watch for October.
We'll definitely do that. That'll be great.
There's one other thing I need to let you know, because I was on the phone with him yesterday. Stephen Ronquillo says hello.
That's nice.
Stephen's been going through a little bit of health problems here and there, but he and I still get together and we do stuff. Generally, I hook up with him on Wednesday on his podcast.
Very cool.
He wanted me to make sure that I say hello to you for him.
If you talk back, say hi. We have not got to talk or anything, but I think that's cool that he said that.
Yeah. And I'll definitely tell him that. All right, cool. Rachel, anything else before we end up here with Joel?
Actually, I think it's pretty good here. Sorry if you heard my kid's background noise. I didn't realize I didn't have it all the way on mute. So, yes, I have
not
a kid
here
doing homework and playing video games.
Uh-huh.
But, yes, I don't have anything else for Joel other than you better come back for that commentary or I'm going to change my wedding vow.
I will do it because we got to keep that going.
That's right.
So, that's right. The husband and the wife will just have to understand.
They will.
Exactly.
They will. And, you know, my husband looks a lot like you, and I don't look anything like your wife, but we might be able to make this work between the four of us. I'm just saying.
Well,
yeah,
we'll
just think about
do it. We'll do it.
Just put that in your pack and smoke it for a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you too. What am I going to do with you two? Get a room.
I know.
All right, folks.
Yeah.
Listen, Joel, thanks a lot for being on with us. You know, right now what I can tell you is that tomorrow Rachel and I will be doing a commentary favorite films. You want to talk about that, Rachel, for a moment?
Well, it is my commentary watch, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know my days are all confused right now. So tomorrow we are doing yet again one of our back to school favorites, and I got to pick this time, and I think Mr. Carl is going to have a new appreciation for this movie after we watch it. But
ooh,
I am going for the wonderful, famous back-to-school classic, PCU. What?
Oh.
My introduction to Parliament Funkadelic. You know, one of the most epic party scenes in a college movie ever. Fuck
yeah.
You, Animal House. You did
Animal
not have
House.
Your Clinton.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then on Thursday, we have a film historian from the Philippines, Noel Vera, on, and we're going to go exactly the opposite way. And Noel and I are going to be doing a commentary watch on Luis Broca's Insiyang, which is a very – so we go both. We go into our – house and we go into micro budget
we
too
go
on
both
here.
Ways.
So, yes, we do. We go
all.
Both ways. Exactly. and also what I can tell you is that we're going to have Mark Pirro back on. There's actually a documentary on his work that's going to be premiered in London. We're going to have him back on. We've got a lot more coming up here, but not exactly set in stone, but we're working
yeah.
on it. So there you go. And that's
sounds
what
good.
We have for this week. Oh,
that sounds cool.
Rachel.
Yes,
tell us what's this coming Sunday, we have a show that's going to be yours too, a music show. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be my birthday music show because I got a birthday coming up, Virgo in the house. And yes, I'm very obviously a Virgo.
I'm a Virgo.
I understand your pain, honey.
I'm surprised.
Oh, sorry about that. So on Sunday the 17th, a couple days before my birthday, just in case anybody wants to send something my way, I am Rachel Elaine at Facebook.com. We are going to be doing, again, you know, it's me, it's going to be a little weird, it's going to be a little hard to grasp at first until you hear it, but I had this idea about bands whose singles on the radio that everybody loves sound nothing like their album. And so I have got so many things to show you. Blur, Harvey Danger, some freaking Mercy Playground of all things. All kinds of stuff. I think Carl is going to be doing something that I had to make a very, very special exception for. So in a historical moment in my life, I am allowing someone to play a Rolling Stones song on my show.
Oh, wow.
But
tune in to see what happens.
It doesn't sound anything like the Rolling Stones. Just remember that.
You know, I will say for all of those hopefuls out there, like I told Carl earlier, I made an extreme exception for the Rolling Stones. But if you try to play me a Metallica song of any sort, I am going to get on my broom, fly up to New York, and shove it up your ass until you die.
No Metallica.
No Metallica.
Metallica.
I'm sure I made that clear, but just in case anybody was wondering, no, it's not allowed on my show. I'm sorry. You can love
that's
it
like
all you want. And I'm not bad
world.
About
music. Did you say no Metallica?
Yeah.
On my show.
Like in Wayne's World, the guy comes up to Garth when he starts playing Stairway to Heaven, and the guy points at the sound sign, and it says, no playing Stairway to Heaven. Yours will say, no playing Metallica.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep, that's my sign on the door. Now, that was my husband that just popped in, so that was your introduction, Joel.
You can go to hell and die.
Hey, husband.
Yeah, okay. That's Jeremy. He's occasionally our amen corner in the background. So he's been helping the kid with homework all night. So he's been giving me a break to do the podcast.
Good man.
He's kind of a Metallica fan. So he wasn't supposed to hear me say that.
Uh-oh. Trouble in the house.
Well, he can get his own damn podcast and he can play all the Metallica he wants to.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so that's what we're
all
doing
right,
on
folks,
Sunday.
This is sort of dissolved into sort of like chaos, but then again, it's wonderful chaos. But I think
it's always
yeah, there you go,
baby.
You know, absolutely. You've got to have some chaos every so, you know, the anarchist. You know, we're all sort of anarchists. You know, but nonetheless, it can't go on forever. So I think at this point,
got to end sometime.
So Rachel's husband I just got something I need to add in. I will allow the Metallica ban only because I get to see her tits every now and then.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Okay. Now,
yes.
He
forgets about things when I show him my boobs.
Who am I? All right. I'm sorry, kids. We're saying good night. All right.
Good night.
Thanks a lot for being on, man.
You bet.
And
thank you.
And
oh,
love
man, thank you.
Back
love
on
you
here soon, man. All right.
I would love
good
it,
night,
man.
Everyone. Say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night, everybody, and thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome, Joel. Thanks a lot for being on. All right.
No,
folks.
Thank you,
good
buddy.
Night.
Good night.